الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we praise Allah Azza wa Jal, the sublime, the almighty, and we continue with the sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah of Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh. In our last session, we addressed the issue, or we began the chapter on the belief in Qadr. According to Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, we basically distinguished between the concept of Qadha and Qadr, and how when they come in the same sentence, they vary in meaning, and when they come independently, then they're synonymous. And then we mentioned the benefits of believing in Qadr. We stopped at the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, قوله خيره وشره. To believe in Qadr, خيره وشره, the good and the bad or the evil thereof. The Shaykh says in the charh of that expression, الشر في القدر ما لا يلائم طبيعة الإنسان. Shar in regards to Qadr is that which is not يلائم, is not harmonious, or it is not suitable with the human nature, that which doesn't suit you, in other words. بحيث يحصل له به أذية أو ضرر, meaning that which may result or affect you with harm, أذية, harm or ضرر, disadvantage, or also harm actually. Both, you usually use harm for both ضرر and أذية in English. I'm sure they may be more accurate terminology. أذية. أذية is a lesser kind of harm than ضرر. والله أعلم. Maybe. Discomfort sounds nice. For أذية. أي طيب. والخير على كل حال ما يلائم طبيعته. خير is whatever suits you. Whatever suits your natural condition. بحيث يحصل له به خير أو ارتياح وسرور. Meaning that which will create or affect you in the sense that you will be goodness, there's comfortability, and there's contentment or happiness. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And all of that is from Allah. So whether the thing is does not suit you, so it creates a form of harm or discomfort, or whether it's something suits you, it's compatible with you and with your nature, it makes you feel happy, content, and what have you. All of this is Qadr, خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, obviously, and it's all from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَكِنْ إِنْ قِيلَ كَيْفَ يُقَالْ إِنَّ فِي قَدَرِ اللَّهِ شَرًّا. However, if it is said, how do you say that there's evil in the Qadr of Allah? There's evil in the Qadr of Allah. وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. And the Prophet ﷺ had previously said, and evil is not attributable to you. Cannot attribute evil to Allah. It is not attributable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ saying that we don't attribute evil to Allah. And now we're saying that Qadr is khair and shar. This appears to be a conflict, contradiction. No, there isn't. فالجواب على ذلك أن يقال. The answer to that is that we say الشر في القدر ليس باعتبار تقدير الله له. The evil in Qadr is not in regards to what Allah Azza wa Jal ordained or decreed. Meaning what Allah decreed, if we want to describe it with an adjective, we do not say it is evil. The actual decree of Allah. لأن لدينا قدرا وهو التقدير لكنه باعتبار المقدور له. But it is in regard to the one whom it's been decreed for. Whatever Allah decrees is ultimately good always and forever. However, in terms of the one affected by qadr, which is good from Allah, it may be evil to this person in some aspects. In other aspects it will actually be good, or maybe good for other people. At the end of the day, it's good from Allah. It is not evil. But in the way it may affect someone, and the manifestation of the good qadar, it may appear to be evil. Or we could give hundreds of worldly examples, like taking some poison from a snake could be a medicine. So I mean, if you look at poison, a poisonous snake, I mean, you say this is evil. Yeah, but that evil may create something good, and vice versa. That which is good may wind up, you may enjoy cake, having nice, chocolate cakes. However, that which is good in and of itself may result in evil for that person. He overeats a bunch of cakes and his diabetes goes up or something along these lines, he goes to the hospital. He has a heart attack, he dies. But do we say the cake is no good? No, the cake was fine. But when it manifested in this person's life, it became a source of evil for that person. But it wasn't evil in and of itself. I hope that's clear. لِأَنَّ لَدَيْنَا قَدَرًا هُوَ تَقْدِيرٌ وَمَقْدُورًا. Because we have the preordainment, which is the actual measurement, وَمَقْدُورًا, and that which has been decreed. كَمَا أَنَّ هُنَاكَ خَلْقًا وَمَخْلُوقًا. The same way we have creation and created. وَإِرَادَةً وَمُرَادًا. We have a will and then the byproduct of this will, what has been intended. فَبِاعْتِبَارِ تَقْدِيرِ اللَّهِ لَهُ لَيْسَ شَرٌ. According to, in regards to Allah's ordainment or decree of this particular thing, it is not evil. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Rather, it is good. حَتَّى وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يُلَائِمِ الْإِنسَانِ وَيُؤْذِيهِ وَيُضِرُّهُ. Even if it doesn't suit the person and it discomforts him and it harms him. He gave us a good word, is it? لَكِنْ بِاعْتِبَارِ الْمَقْدُورِ. However, in regards to that which has been decreed, not the decree itself, the manifestation, in other words, فَنَقُولُ الْمَقْدُورِ إِمَّا خَيْرُ وَإِمَّا شَرُ. That manifestation could either be good or it could be evil. فَالْقَدَرْ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ أَوْ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ يُرَادُ بِهِ الْمَقْدُورِ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ. So what is intended by qadr, when we say the qadr, to believe in qadr, the good and the evil thereof, what we really mean is the manifestation of the qadr, which is good and evil, not the qadr itself. You with me? Because we don't say that the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal is evil, because then we are attributing evil to Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal is طيب. Allah, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is طيب. Allah is al-طيب, the good, the purity, yani the sense, the ultimate sense of purity. So nothing evil is going to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything from Allah is good. However, in the creation, to this particular person, to this particular community, it may manifest as something evil, but you don't know the good which is lying behind. Even a tsunami. You say, what good is there in a tsunami? And what good is, say, listen, you don't know. You don't know, this water flowing into these areas may create a fertile soil in the future, which would have never existed. This area would have eventually become barren, and no life could have survived there. Whatever, Allahu A'lam. We don't know what things are planned in the future. So and you don't know where the good is at the end of the day. There's ultimately something good. وَنَضْرِبُ لِهَذَا مَثَلًا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Surah Al-Rum, Ayah 41. The Shaykh said, let us strike an example concerning that. In the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, corruption has appeared on the land and in the sea due to what the people have earned with their hands, so that Allah may make them taste some of that which they have done, in order or so that they may return. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Now the Shaykh said, فَبِهَذِي الْآيَةِ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَا حَدَثَ مِنَ الْفَسَادِ وَسَبَبِهِ وَالْغَيَمِنِ. Now in this ayah, Allah explained the existence of corruption, the reason behind corruption, and the objective behind this corruption. فَالْفَسَادُ شَرٌ. Now the corruption in and of itself is what? Evil. Fasad, corruption, is evil ultimately. وَسَبَبَهُ عَمَلُ الْإِنسَانِ السَّيِّئِ. The reason behind this evil is the wrong which man does. Human beings, we are the one who
commit sins which creates corruption. So we have the actual event, the reason behind this event, وَالْغَايَةُ مِنْ, and the goal, the objective, which is لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that Allah may make them taste some of that which they have earned in order for them to return. So what is the غاية? فَيَكَوْنُ الْفَسَادِ يَظْهَرُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ فِي حِكْمَةِ, يعني the spread of corruption, the existence of corruption in the land, on the land and in the sea exists because of a wisdom. فَهُوَ نَفْسُهُ شَرْ, itself is evil. Corruption itself is evil. لَكِنْ لِحِكْمَةِ عَظِيمَةً, but this is for a great wisdom, great benefit. بِهَا يَكُونُ تَقْدِيرُهُ خَيْرًا, so then the taqdeer becomes good. يعني, what is better? That there isn't corruption upon earth and in the sea while the people are distant from Allah, or corruption appears on the land and in the sea and then the people return to Allah? Which is better? The second one. Because even if this earth and the oceans were sound and healthy and lovely, if the people remained distant from Allah and this life came to an end, big problem. Big problem on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because the earth and the land are going to go away anyways. They're not staying. So then there's a greater calamity while people die in the state of being distant from Allah. Whereas the appearance of corruption on earth will make them return to Allah. Them returning to Allah is the best thing that could ever happen to them, because when they die, they will be enjoying eternal bliss. See how beautiful that is? So this is how we need to look at things. Yani, and where, who can give us from the Quran some examples, or at least one where we get something similar, where we learn similar lessons? I'm not going to repeat it. I want you to use your mind. I gave you now an example. Allah gave us an example of an ayah and things appearing some way and turning out to be different things. And
Musa's stories are several ones.
Musa and Al-Khadir. By the way, his name is Khadir, not Khidr. Just so you know. Al-Khadir. His name is Al-Khadir. Musa and Al-Khadir. I mean, Al-Khadir, what did he do? He made the boat sink and he killed the young boy without, you know, for no reason apparently, or what appeared not to be a valid reason. And he reconstructed a wall which he didn't have to do, even though the people didn't even offer them hospitality. So all of these things appeared to be no good. But there was a wisdom behind them that Allah Azza wa Jal had taught Al-Khadir, which Musa didn't even know about, alayhi salatu wasalam. So then, yani, that's why, when yani, for example, in the case of the young boy dying, now one may say, what benefit is there in a young boy dying? What crime did the young boy commit? We say, well, the first thing is that if he dies before the age of discretion, then inshallah he's going to Jannah. Whereas, if he survived until the age of discretion, hey, he's like everybody else. He has to go through the test. He may make it, he may not. Which one do you prefer? That your son goes to Jannah or that he has to go through the test? Say, let him go to Jannah. Ultimately, because he's going to enjoy himself there. Secondly, that death of the child, we ask Allah to protect everyone's children. This is not trying to wish evil upon anyone, but just so we can train ourselves. Because Allah told us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَنفُسِ وَالْأَمْوَالِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. And Allah prepared the people that, you know, you will be tested. So if a child dies, this may create a state of humbleness in the parents which they would have never attained had this boy been alive. Sometimes that sadness is good. Being sad, keeping you, you know, in the state of humbleness and kind of, as they say, crushed before Allah. Inkisa, they call it in Arabic, which is necessary for khushu', for you to feel you need to be, you know. That's why they say if you eat too much, you know, eating too much and laughing too much actually harden the heart. And it becomes difficult for one to feel that state of submissiveness because of constant entertainment. So they affect us. So when someone is feeling low, they're more likely to cry, more likely to read the Quran and be affected. It actually has a positive effect on someone. Many people return to Allah because of a death of someone. And they realize that really we're going to die and we need to fix our relationship with Allah. So in the death of someone, there may be goodness for tens of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people. And this happened. This lady, her name is Maryam. Or is it Maryam? I don't know. Bil Arabi, fi Miriam. You won't believe this story. A brother once, he's a steward in the flight attendant, Saudi Airlines. He calls me, says, listen, there's this lady I've been given da'wah to, and she's close to Islam. And so he asked for some advice. I gave him whatever I had. So anyways, one time he called me, said, look, the lady's ready to become Muslim, but I'm telling her to say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله يعني I bear witness that there's no God. And she's refusing. Why? She said because she doesn't feel that it's correct to say I bear witness. Okay? Because like in her mind, bearing witness had to do with something tangible, which you have to see. For whatever reason, I don't know what aspect of the language she had. But the bottom line is, she said, no, this way you're saying it, I'm not going to say it. Because it's something that I believe, but it's not nothing that I see from you to say, I bear witness. Because she's seeing witness to witness something. So he said, what do I do? I said, that's it? That's the problem? Is it just terminology? He said, yeah. I said, fine, tell her, I testify. I believe. I believe in my heart that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. And believe it or not, it worked. He just changed the words. She said, fine. She became a Muslim. No, but that's not the end of it. She became a Muslim, and she was in the States, obviously. She gave da'wah to her mother, who also became a Muslim. And then they interviewed her. She wound up moving from America to Kuwait, because she wanted to learn Arabic, and she wanted to be in an Islamic environment. And she went to the American University in Kuwait. She wound up being interviewed with this guy, I forgot his name, famous Kuwaiti host show, one of these, you know, talk shows or these, you know, whatever they have him. And she made this interview with him, and she died shortly after in a car accident in Ramadan. I believe it was her first Ramadan. So the first time they aired the show, the first time they put the show on TV, the show began by saying, make dua for Miriam who died in a car accident, blah blah blah, and then they put the show. And the show is emotional and crying, and she's loving her mom and hugging her mom. They say hundreds of people repented to Allah. Shabab who were going left and right and playing games, they saw the video. It's like this American lady left the dunya, left everything, she became Muslim, she's wearing hijab, she left her country to go to the Muslim land. And the interview's in Arabic, American Arabic, I don't know if you've heard it. Ana, yani, you know how they speak. Zam, zam, biddi, iji, kida, something like that. It's weird, but it's in Arabic. And she really was learning Arabic. Anyways, you watch this, alaykum salam, bakir wallah, you watch this thing and you will cry. You will cry. And the views are millions, and thousands repented to Allah because of a video, because the first time they seen her, she was already dead. What is the point? The point is that it was a word. And then when the brother told me, you know this lady here, this is the one that I told you about, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I, alhamdulillah, had something to do with it. Even it was the simplest advice I ever gave someone. I don't even know, she said, forget about I bear witness, say I testify. It was like as simple as that. And the lady wind up having this effect. So in the death of this lady, which is not good in one aspect, how many people repented to Allah? Had she been alive during the show, it wouldn't be the same. But people were affected by her death, and then the message which was displayed afterwards. So again, what am I trying to prove? in the death of people, in what appears to be evil, Allah knows what wisdom lies and what goodness is within. So that's why we have to, you know, train ourselves, internalize this reality, so that we are not quickly emotional and we don't assume anything evil about Allah Azza wa Jal. Because everything that happens to the believer is khair. عَجَبًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ The Prophet ﷺ said, amazing is the affair, wondrous is the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ All of his affair is good. If something good happens to him, he's thankful, and this is good for him. If something bad happens to him, he's patient, it is good for him. And this is only for the believer. So this is the concept that we need to internalize accordingly. Anyways, if you get the chance, go on YouTube and just put American Miriam. Do lower your gaze, because obviously she's not wearing niqab, so you may know the first look is yours, and afterwards you can't be looking at her anymore, even though she died. Still, yani, just so I'm giving you a notice so you will not tell me later I was telling you to watch women on YouTube. Now, so the Shaykh said, كَذَلِكَ الْمَعَاصِي وَالْكُفُرُ وَالشَّرُ شَرٌ عَفْوًا Similarly, ma'asi, disobedience, wal-kufur, and disbelief is evil. Is it or is it not? Is it or is it not? Is kufr good? Never. But can it result in something good? Huh? Look, what have we been saying this whole time? Can it result in something good? Yes. For the believers, it is good. Because a distinction is made between the believer and the disbeliever. Jihad is established. Many things would have not happened had kufr not existed. The existence of kufr, which is evil, results in many good things. So again, nothing from Allah. Because if Allah decreed it, it must be good. It must be good. طيب. وَهُوَ مِن تَقْدِيرِ اللَّهِ It is part of the decree of Allah. وَلَكِنْ لِحِكْمَةٍ عَظِيمَةٍ However, it is for a great wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful. لَوْلَا ذَلِكَ لَبَطَلَتِ الشَّرَائِعُ Had it not been for disbelief, then legislations would have been invalidated. They would have become void. There's no Sharia, because Sharia is basically the laying down the principles of belief versus disbelief. If there's no disbelief, there's nothing left. Everybody is a believer. Khalas. What are you going to do? وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ لَكَانَ خَلْقُ النَّاسِ عَبَثًا Had it also been that way, then the creation of people would have been purposeless. It would have been something that is just for vain, in vain, for entertainment. And this is not, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ This is not acceptable in the deen of Allah or in Allah Azza wa Jal's commands in order that He creates people without a purpose in vain. You know, there's something behind it. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ لَا يَتَضَمَّنِ الْإِيمَانِ بِكُلِّ مَقْدُورِ بَلِ الْمَقْدُورِ يَنْقَصِمْ إِلَى كَوْنِي وَإِلَى شَرْعِنَا Belief in the qadr of Allah, the good and the evil thereof, does not include the belief in everything which has been, which has resulted because of the decree. Rather, that which has been decreed is divided into كَوْنِي and شَرْعِي. What is kawni? We learned this way in the beginning of the book.
The creations?
No. We learned it in the beginning of the book for the early students. ما في إلا إبراهيم and the... You... طب يا أخي الكون معليش الكون You never heard the word الكون?
Universe.
Universal. We remember al-irada al-kawniya wal-irada al-shar'iyya, Allah's universal will and Allah's legal will. Idan kawniyun, universal, not in a sense that universal as in, you know, all over the world, like Universal Studios. Universal as in pertaining to the universe, pertaining to the creation of Allah. That is what is intended. Wa shar'i, legal. فالمقدور الكوني إذا قدر عليك مكروها فلا بد أن يقع رضيت أم أبيت The universal decree of Allah, if something that is does not suit you has been decreed, it will inevitably come to pass, whether you are pleased or you reject. What Allah decreed, is bound to happen. There's no escape. والمقدور الشرعي, what has been decreed legally, قد يفعله الإنسان وقد لا يفعله. The person may do it, or he may do it not, or he may not do it. Who can give me an example? What does it mean? The legal decree of Allah, you may do it, you may not do it.
Regarding coming to the class.
Now this is universal.
Salat al-Sunnah.
Any ibadah. Any ibadah. Fasting, praying fajr. Has it not been decreed by Allah legally, as in part of the deen is that you pray fajr? Do you not have the will and the free choice to do it or not to do it? You do. Because it's part of the deen of Allah, it becomes shar'i. Al-maqdur al-shar'i. However, things that, you know, you were walking down the street and something fell on your head. Is this part of the deen of Allah? No. This is part of the decree of Allah. The universal decree. You can't avoid it. The legal decree, you have a choice. Now even though you have a choice, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. I mean, you may will to wake up for fajr and you sleep. But you don't blame Allah. That didn't happen unless we had something wrong. We must have done something wrong for us to miss fajr. Hey, don't think. نعم. ولكن باعتبار الرضا به فيه تفصيل. As for being pleased with it, then there's تفصيل. There's detail. We need to detail it. إن كان طاعة لله وجب الرضا به. وجب الرضا به. If it is something which is obedience to Allah, if it's an act of obedience to Allah, it is obligatory for you to be satisfied with it. يعني Allah cannot make something obligatory and you don't like it. And I've given you plenty and plenty and plenty of examples in the past concerning things which are obligatory in the deen, which we must be pleased with and act upon. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَعْصِيَةً. If it is a sin, وَجَبَ سَخَطِهِ وَكَرَاهَتِهِ وَالْقَضَاءِ عَلَيْهِ. If it is a sin, it is obligatory to hate it, to detest it, and to exterminate it. Try to put an end to it. كما قال الله عز وجل ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. And let there be a nation amongst you who call to all that which is good, forbid what is right, and enjoin what is right, عفوا, and forbid what is wrong. We ask Allah to make us that ummah. Because what did Allah say at the end of the ayah? وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the successful ones. Those who enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil. When they see good that the people are slacking concerning, then they bring it to their attention. When they see evil which the people are acting upon, they make it a point that these people leave it alone. And they call to all that which is good, which is da'wah. Da'wah. We need to be du'at. Don't come to this class and then be a statue at work. You come to these classes so you can learn. And when you learn, you need to convey that which you have learned to the other people according to one's ability. The da'wah to the Muslims and non-Muslims is obligatory, ya akhwan. Don't deprive these people of their right of receiving the message of Islam from people who, you know, try to act upon the deen. Because we have a lot of bad advertisement, honestly, out there, which really, tarnishes the Muslim's reputation and the deen of Islam's reputation. And you know, the kuffar are warned against the brothers were telling us, remember Yanaif, we were in Yanbu, and what did the guy say? He said that in Korea, I don't know which country, they give him a course. He mentioned Philippines, another country. They give him a course that when you go to Saudi Arabia, these people are illiterate, they're ignorant, they're arrogant, they give them a list of things. And they will try to, you know, change your religion. And the Christian in the Philippines, they have an orientation day at church, preparing them mentally for what may happen to them here, so they will be ready to block any try to approach. So, and what is unfortunate is when they tell them that there are people who are ABC, they come and see people who are ABC. They do find the arrogant and the ignorant and the oppressive among the Muslims, and the da'wah is shut off. Unless we come and say, hey, back off. Let me show you the other side of the coin. Let me show you how Muslims really are. And we change their views by the will of Allah. If we don't do the job, they will leave with that evil conception. And we would have not had done our job. So don't take the matter lightly. Anything you do, you don't know what goodness lies within. Subhanallah, you don't know. But do it for the sake of Allah. وَعَلَى هَذَا The Shaykh said, based on this, يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا الْإِيمَانُ بِالْمُقْدَى كُلَّهُ Based on this, we are to believe in everything which has been decreed, all of it. مِنْ حَيْثُ كَوْنِهِ قَضَاءٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ As in, it is something which was preordained by Allah. أَمَّا مِنْ حَيْثُ كَوْنِهِ مَقْدِيًّا فَقَدْ نَرْضَى وَقَدْ لَا نَرْضَى نَرْضَى بِهِ وَقَدْ لَا نَرْضَى As concerning the fact that it has been decreed, يعني legally, that this is wrong, we may be pleased with it, we may not be pleased with it. For example, or universally, Allah decreed that there's kufr. Does that mean that we say, Allah decreed there's kufr, we become happy with kufr? No. We will be displeased with kufr, displeased with sin, even though Allah decreed it. فَلَوْ وَقَعَ الْكُفْرُ مِنْ شَخْصٍ فَلَا نَرْضَ بِالْكُفْرِ مِنْ If disbelief is committed by a person, then we're not pleased with the disbelief which he has committed. لَكِنْ نَرْضَ بِكَوْنِ اللَّهِ أَوْقَعُ But we are pleased with the fact that it was decreed by Allah. Yani the decree of Allah aspect we believe in, but the actual kufr, we're not pleased with. We're not pleased with. Oh. Now we're going into the chapter on في درجات الإيمان بالقدر. The levels or degrees or the levels of belief in qadr. قوله والإيمان بالقدر على درجتين كل درجة تتضمن شيئين. Belief in qadr is two levels. There are two levels of belief in qadr. Let me put it that way. Each one contains two subject matters. الشرح إنما قسم المؤلف رحمه الله هذا التقسيم لأجل الخلاف. Why did the Sheikh Shaykh Rasab ibn Taymiyyah make such a categorization. He made such a categorization because of the disagreement. لأن الخلاف في القدر ليس شاملا لكل مراتبه. The disagreement concerning qadr does not encompass all of its levels. يعني the people have differed on, there are four levels for example. The people have differed on level one. They may agree on level 2, level 3, and level 4. So because of the disagreement in that level, in the categorization, the Shaykh made that categorization happen because of the disagreement. وَبَابُ الْقَدَرِ مِنْ أَشْكَلِ أَبْوَابِ الْعِلْمِ وَالدِّينِ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ And the chapter on Qadr is one of the most problematic chapters of knowledge and deen upon the son of Adam. Really. To some, it may create a major conflict. Many people have major misconceptions among the Muslims concerning the Qadr of Allah. وَقَدْ كَانَ النِّزَاعُ فِيهِ مِنْ أَهْدِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ And the disagreement was initiated during the time of the Sahaba. Not amongst the Sahaba, but during the time of Sahaba from amongst the Tabi'een or the people back then. لكنه ليس مشكلا لمن أراد الحق. However, it is not problematic for one who seeks the truth. يعني if you want to look for the truth, it's easy, والله. It's as easy as ABC, honestly. But you need to widen your understanding and broaden your scope and kind of be open-minded to the information. Obviously, worldly examples facilitate the understanding quite a lot. So, that inshallah we will try to do all of that so we may get over that particular obstacle. And I'm reluctant on whether I should initiate the Daraj al-Ula or not. Let us just begin the first few lines inshallah. الدرجة الأولى من درجات الإيمان بالقدر. The first level of the levels of belief in Qadr. قوله فالدرجة الأولى الإيمان بأن الله تعالى علم ما الخلق عاملون بعلمه القديم الذي هو موصوف به أزلا. The first level is that you believe, we believe, that Allah Azza wa Jal knew what the creation were going to do according to His ancient knowledge, which has always been, He's always been described or with this particular attribute, His al-ilm al-qadim, ancient knowledge. And according to the ulama, ancient meaning no beginning. No beginning. It doesn't mean like old. Don't think it means old, qadim. That's not, yeah, that's how, no, that's the linguistic, lexical meaning. Now we're not speaking about that. We're speaking in Islamic context and terminology. It has another meaning. Ma'i? Like, so that we believe that Allah knew everything that the people were going to do in Allah's ancient knowledge, which He's always been described with. Allah's always been described as Al-Alim. صح ولا لا؟ طيب. قوله فالدرجة الأولى الإيمان بأن الله علم ما الخلق عاملون. ولم يذكر مؤلف رحمه الله أن الله علم ما يفعله هو. And he did not mention that Allah knows what Allah will do. لأن هذه مسألة ليس فيها خلاف. Because this is a matter that, in which there's no difference. So there's no need to discuss it. Everyone believes Allah knew what He will do. The issue is, did Allah know what the people will do? Because you will find some among the Qadariya who say no. Say, people do things, then Allah finds out. Which is ajeeb. But they're there. إِنَّمَا ذَكَرَ وَفِيهِ الْخِلَافِ. The Shaykh only mentioned that in which there's a difference. وَهُوَ هَلِ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا الْخَلْقُ عَامِلُونَ أَوْ لَا يَعْلَمُ إِلَّا بَعْدَ وَقُعِهِ مِنْهُمْ. Does Allah know what the people have, what the people were to do, or the people are going to do, or did Allah only know after it occurred? After it happened, anything to distract you, brothers. MashaAllah. وَمَذَهَبُ السَّلَفُ وَالْأَئِمَّةِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَالِمٌ بِذَلِكِ. The madhab of the Salaf, not the Salafi sect, Salaf of the Ummah, the righteous predecessors, and the A'imma, the Imams. A'imma is the plural of what? Imam. What do we call this kind of plural?
Jama'ah.
Ya Salim. Ya Salim.
Taksir.
Okay, good. جمع تكسير. أنت بغالك تكسير والله يا محمد. جمع تكسير. سالم يا شيخ. مسلمون مسلمين عاملون عاملين. This is أئمة يا شيخ. أئمة مثل رجال. Right? رجل رجال. When you change the root of the word and it's no longer the same, you can add واو نون يا نون, it becomes جمع تكسير. اختلف الكوفيين والبصريين ما شاء الله تبارك الله. الكوفيين والبصريون. طيب المهم الأئمة the Imams. That Allah Azza wa Jal knew of all that. وعليكم السلام أهلا أخي. The madhab of the Imams that Allah knew concerning all of that. And we will stop here. معليش يا brother. We will see what it means by علم القديم. And it'll be very interesting if y'all made a research during your free time, if you have free time that is, and try to find out what exactly is meant by al-ilm al-qadim, ancient knowledge. Why was that term used? Why was the term used when we have terms like eternal, or you know, something which basically refers to no beginning, no end? Why are we using a term which usually describes something which is old? Yani it has a beginning, it has an initiation point. So try to search that up if you have the time. And with this we conclude our dars. Look forward inshallah next week so we can continue. And it's very, very technical what we're coming to, yet very important to understand. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.